I'm Brother Tom Getz. This is the AgeTurners.com podcast where you can hear some fellowship about the way to be today's generation of AgeTurners. In these podcasts, we're discussing an assortment of topics related to our fleeing and pursuing the Lord with our companions. This time will be a continuation of the series we began on the vulnerability of sin. I hope you will join us week after week and enjoy this fellowship. Over the last two podcasts, we've been discussing the vulnerability of sin and the danger that every one of us faces in our Christian life, that Satan is likened to a lion who is howling in hunger, seeking someone to devour. We also saw that the Lord charged his disciples to watch and pray, that they would not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in 2 Corinthians, he says, 2:11, we would not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Satan has a lot of plots, plans, devices. He's scheming all the time, looking for ways to destroy us. And we saw how we need to be those who flee and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Last time, we saw the example of Cain and how God came to Cain and gave him a word. What a mercy that God would come to someone right around the time he is about to have a failure. And God pays him a visit. And the whole purpose of the visit is to preserve him, is to keep him from stumbling, keep him from falling. Yet Cain did not receive God's help. He didn't want to be calmed down, and ultimately went out and killed his brother. Well, you know, now today in this podcast, we're coming to another example of someone's failure from the Old Testament. And this speaks of also an example of the vulnerability of sin. And this is seen in the example of David. We see this story in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And where it begins is after the chapter when David expresses this deep desire to build a house for God. You know, God testified that David was a man after his own heart and that David would do my will. He was a person whose heart was absolutely for God. He had reached such a high point in his life of loving God, loving God's word. When you read the Psalms, you're touched with the sweetness of his love for God, for God's word, and his heart for God's house. He dreamed this up that he would, I don't mean dreamed it up in a light way, but I mean it was his dream that he could build a house for Jehovah. He didn't think it was right that the king could live in such a palace, but God, the ark, was just living in a tent. That didn't seem right to him, and so he wanted to build a house for Jehovah. And so David was one that had reached such a point, such a height, that it's beyond imagination that he could have such a failure and that he could stumble like he did. Just a few chapters later, chapter 7 is when he's talking about building a house for God. But by chapter 11, it begins with this: and at the turn of the year, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent out Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Here you have David sending out the army, but David himself was quite a warrior. He was a victorious general, king. He fought. He was a hero in his battles. But this year, he decided to stay back home, and he sent his army out under Joab's rule, yet he stayed behind. And verse 2 says, and late one afternoon, David rose from his bed and went for a walk on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look at. Okay, in this verse, verse 2, we see something quite interesting. It was late in the afternoon, and David rose from his bed. You know, obviously, David, being the king, can keep whatever schedule he likes. But a proper king, a king in the kingdom of God, would not be sleeping late in the afternoon. This verse implies that David had some leisure time. In fact, he had too much time, and he was in a situation where he was not busy, not occupied at all. And this opened the door for him to have this greatest failure. Young people, this is a word of warning to us. While we're young, especially during our teen years and early 20 years, we should be fully engaged in building up our human vessel, preparing our vessel with the best education we could get or with some skill that could be useful to the Lord for his move, and that should be a full-time job to us, occupying all of our spare time. In today's society, when there is a lot of money and a lot of free time going around, young people often are tempted and fall into real serious sinful things, even as David did and as David was. So this is the first point, is that young people, we have to be busy. We have to be occupied with either work or our studies. God ordained that after the fall of man, because man had become flesh, that by the sweat of his brow he would eat, and that he needed to work hard, and that when he did work hard, the ground was not going to produce lots and lots of crops, but rather the ground was going to produce thorns and thistles. God ordained this for the fallen man because God knew that man needed to be engaged in full-time work, or else his flesh would become out of control. And today's society is a real example of this, when we have way too much time, that sin and sinful things are so easy. We could fall into a sinful situation. And so it says here, verse 3, and David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, this is none other than Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her. Now this is after he found out that she was the wife of one of his 30 mighty men. He was one of the most loyal warriors in David's army. And of his 30 mighty men, 33 or something, 36 top warriors, Uriah was one of them. Loved by David, highly regarded by him and respected, also a hero of the children of Israel. Now, after David had sent and inquired about her, he found out who she was. He still sent messengers and he took her. He's the king. He could do that. And he stole her from him. She came to him, it says, and he lay with her, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent word and told David and said, I am pregnant. Okay, so this is what happened. David had leisure time. He was out walking. He saw something that stirred up his lust. And then what he did is he sent for her. He committed adultery with her, having a very sinful thing of fornication and adultery. And she became pregnant. And so now he knows it's going to be found out. So he devises a plan to have Uriah the Hittite, her husband, come home from the battle. And so he comes home from the battle. David eats with him, drinks with him, helps him, and sends him home, hoping that he would go home and be with his wife. but he would not go in the house. He slept outside. He had no peace. Now, this is a loyal man. He had no peace that he could go in and sleep with his wife while his comrades were out on the battlefield sleeping under the sky. And so he wouldn't do it. And so David feasted with him again the second night and had him drink, hoping that he would get a little drunk, sending him home. He would not go in the house. And so eventually on the third day, David devised a further plan, which was to include putting Uriah at the front of the worst fight and then have the army withdraw, retreat back, leaving Uriah there alone so that he would be killed. This was David's plan, and he had Uriah murdered. Well, you know, the whole story is there in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and I won't go into the details of the story, but the point is this. Young people, our flesh is just flesh, and we have such a vulnerability to fall. Whether it's through the internet and the pornography that's there, or whether it's through immoral and improper relationships among the males and females, it's so easy to fall into a sinful situation. My heart aches over so many cases of young people who have fallen into this kind of fleshly, sinful situation, especially into fornication. I just am so burdened about this. I'm not sure how to even open up my heart and to share the concern that I have. I know among the young people in Europe, the difference or the distance between the males and females is completely broken down. There's almost no proper humanity left. But among the saints, among the brothers and sisters in the churches, there should be a strong and definite separation between the males and females. The brothers and the sisters should never be alone in a closed room without a third or a fourth party there. This is a warning to us. Sin is crouching at the door. It's so easy to fall into this thing, and especially after our heart is stirred up to love somebody, to care about them, and then it's so easy to have this kind of a fall into fornication. I just would like to warn the young people so much to take the example of David, someone who had achieved the highest point of spirituality, the highest point in God, loving God, in being for God's house, of doing God's will, that even this one, such a one as this, could have this kind of failure, should be a warning to us all that we have to flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's another verse I would like to point out in this particular podcast, and this is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12 is Paul's word to his young co-worker Timothy, where he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Paul's telling Timothy, do not give the ground to anyone to despise your youth. You are a young man. You're a young co-worker. But by your conduct, by your purity, by your speaking, you could cause people to despise you, despise your youth. But that means you have to live beyond your years. You have to be a pattern to them. You have to be a pattern in word, in conduct. But the last word to Timothy was in purity. This means you have to be pure and unmixed. You have to be proper in your relationships with the females, and you have to live a life of purity. These are the virgins who will be standing on Mount Zion in Revelation 14, the overcomers at the end of this age. Well, that's all for today. Please visit our website at www.ageturners.com. Or if you'd like to respond to this podcast, please email us at feedback@ageturners.com. Don't forget, we are the generation that will end this age. For ageturners.com, this is Brother Tom Getz.